Our scripture reading, we turn one last time to John chapter 16. This time we begin our reading in verse 22. Verse 22, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It is that last verse that we consider this evening. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus closes his farewell discourse, beloved, with his disciples, with the beautiful and comforting words of our text. Be of good cheer, he says, at the end of his farewell. Near the beginning of his farewell, he had spoken similar words, and we considered those some time ago already. Let not your heart be troubled, he had said at that point. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, he says, be of good cheer. But also, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, all of this I have said unto you, all of these words and this last farewell, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Be of good cheer, be at peace. And so he comforts his disciples, and so he comforts us. And not without good reason. The Lord simply does not speak empty words, meaningless words, saying, find some peace, be of good cheer, drum it up within yourselves upon no basis whatsoever. Simply be of good cheer. That's the way the world speaks, isn't it? Be happy, put on a good front, put on a good face. Have a good day, even though the world has no basis for such words of encouragement and comfort. The Lord gives a reason, a basis for His saying, be of good cheer and have peace. The reason He states in the text, He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. With that in your mind, with that in your hearts, be of good cheer. And that reason is a kind of summary, really, of all that He had said to them in this farewell discourse. From the words, let not your heart be troubled, to be of good cheer, He had been saying to them, it won't be easy to live in this world. I must leave you now. I must leave you here in this world. And you have to know this. It won't be easy to live here as my disciples, as my people, as my church. But I will be with you. And I have the victory. And you will be well. You will have peace. You can have, must have good cheer in me. For I have overcome the world. And I have overcome your tribulation. We consider the text this evening under this theme, tribulation overcome. Tribulation overcome. First of all, for us. Secondly, in Him. And thirdly, good cheer. Jesus' thought is compressed in the text. It's not all spelled out. It's not fully expressed in the text, but His thought is put very succinctly and therefore compressed. And there's some things that He implies but does not state explicitly in the text. That is evident, first of all, from this. We cannot take Him to mean really only that which He says in the text. We do not take Him to mean only you will have tribulation and I will have the victory and that's it. I have no more to say to you. You will have tribulation. I will have the victory. Be of good cheer. That is, be happy for me, even though you will be miserable. That's not His meaning. But rather, each part of the text is meant to reflect on the other. His speaking of tribulation and His speaking of victory, our tribulation, His victory, is meant to reflect upon one another. What we mean is this. Jesus means to say, you will have tribulation in the world even as I have had tribulation in the world. And even because I have had tribulation in the world, so also you will have tribulation in the world. And then also, I will overcome the world, and that also will be your victory over the world. Not my personal victory alone, but yours as well. Understanding the Lord this way, we recognize what He means to say is that there is an essential unity. All of that is based upon an essential unity between Christ and His disciples, and then more broadly between Christ and all of His people, ourselves as well. There is, of course, that unity already in eternity, in election. We belong to God because God has chosen us in Him, in Christ. God has seen Christ and in Christ and through Christ seen us as His people and elected us in Him. Never has He looked upon us apart from Christ. There's that unity, even already in God's counsel between us and our Savior. But then also there's a unity as far as according to God's appointment. God had appointed Him to be our Savior, our representative. God had said to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the representative of those people. There is a unity between you and between them. That which you go through is for them. That which you enjoy is theirs as well. And there's a unity also in as far as Christ is the head of the church and is the head of the church as a body, so that there is an organic unity between Christ and His church. There's a living relationship between Christ and His people, between every member of the church and the church as a whole, as an organic unity. There's a real spiritual unity, a living unity between Jesus Christ and His people. All of that stands behind what the Lord says in the text. And on account of that unity, this tribulation in the world, we would know also, and we do also know. And He certainly endured tribulation. He endured tribulation in the world. The world considered as the globe, as that whole sphere upon which men live. But more than that, the world is dominated by the power of sin. That's what He means as He speaks of the world here again. The world as it lies under the power of the Prince of Darkness, as He is its usurping authority in the world. He has no real authority, but as He has usurped that authority and as He uses His strength and His power throughout the world, and the world lies under His influence. From that point of view, Jesus speaks of tribulation in the world. The world as it is controlled by the reprobate. The world's not controlled by the church. The church does not have power and influence in the world, nor ought she seek to have such. The state is controlled by the power of sin. The church of Jesus' day was controlled by the power of sin, by the ungodly. And on account of that world, as it stood over against the Son of God, over against our Savior, Jesus Christ, He endured tribulation. The word tribulation is that familiar word in Scripture which means pressure. The force and the pressure that comes upon one who is God and who is God's in the world. As there is that great antithesis, the world stands over against God. Over against God's man, Jesus Christ. So it put pressure upon Him. All that is opposed to God's plan of salvation withstood Him and put pressure upon Him. And He endured persecution, tremendous persecution in this world. Endured temptation even. Read of that in the Scripture too. He was not able to sin, nor did He ever sin, but He endured temptation, the likes of which we can't even fully imagine, so great, so powerful was that temptation against Him. And His tribulation, in the form of persecution and temptation, His tribulation was something He endured all of His life. From his birth, His lowly birth, all of His life long, until He breathed His last, He endured tribulation in the world, and on account of the world standing against Him. Even the tribulation that He spoke of now comes into view as He spoke of it to His disciples. He had said, I must leave. I have to leave you. And of course, He meant, I must I must suffer and I must die. I have to go to a place and go in a way that you cannot go and you cannot follow me. I must do this alone. I will die. One of you, he said to his disciples in this last night with them, one of you shall betray me. One of you here, he said to them, will betray me. And he even spoke to Peter and identified Peter uniquely and said, Peter, you too will deny me. You're going to deny me three times. That was suffering for our Lord. It was part of His tribulation in the midst of this world. Not speaking of Peter as being an ungodly man, but as the powers of ungodliness had taken hold of him, as Jesus even warned Peter. Devil seeks to have you. Resist him. Which warning Peter did not heed. In fact, Jesus says in the preceding verse to our text, all of you will leave me. Verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. That's what happened too, shortly after this in the garden, as Judas led his band of men to capture Jesus. All of the disciples abandoned them. All of them turned their backs upon Him and ran and fled for their own life to spare themselves, left Him alone. The world, He said, when you leave me alone and you abandon me, the world shall rejoice. We considered that too not so long ago. Verse 20 of the same chapter, He says, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. The world will rejoice over my death. So much do they hate me. So intense is their hatred of me. That He endured as His tribulation. But then, of course, the heart of all of it is that as He represented us and carried our sin, He descended into hell upon the cross. On account of our sin, He endured tribulation, tremendous tribulation, suffering the torments and agonies of hell. The tribulation that He speaks of that was His also would be the tribulation His disciples would know. Not an atoning tribulation, not of course in that sense, but as it is tribulation directed at Him, and now in His absence as He would leave, directed now at the closest thing to Him, directed at His disciples, it was essentially the same tribulation directed at them for the same reason that it was directed at Him. Because they belonged to Him. They were unified to Him, with Him. Tribulation we endure, tribulation that comes upon us is a tribulation that comes upon us because we are united to Him. Because of our relationship of unity with Him. Remember, Jesus had made that very plain just a few words ago in this last discourse. Previous chapter, John 15, verses 18 and following. If the world hate you, He said, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love His own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. This he means too, as he says to his people, as he says to us, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have tribulation not in isolation from me, but as you are united to me, as you are servants, myself, your master. In the world you shall have tribulation, persecution. You will have persecution, he said. He said that even in the verses that we just read, John 15, verse 20, for example. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. That's the reality for the child of God. Jesus says that now before he leaves so as to say to us, now don't be stunned by it. Don't be shocked by this. Don't stumble and fall and give up when this occurs. You have to understand this is the way things will be. There will be tribulation, and that tribulation will come to expression at times in outright persecution against you. They will mock you. They will contradict you, even as they did to me. They will seek to harm you, to imprison you, perhaps even to kill you, as they have done to me. He elaborates on that. We remember in chapter 16, verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. The world will do this to you in the name of God, in the name of their own religion, in the name of their own wicked self-righteousness. That persecution will take place, as we said, by the world as it's represented not only by the state, that too, but also as the world is represented sometimes or always by the false church, by the Antichrist. We prepare for that in the future too. The Antichrist will persecute the church. Jesus had his eye upon that as he said this too. In the world ye shall have tribulation. The final great tribulation comes. That will come upon my own people in the midst of this world by the Antichrist. And as he explained it in another place, it will even occur at times that there will be family members giving over other family members to the authorities to be persecuted. Don't be stunned by that. Don't be shocked. I told you before that you can know it and understand it when the time comes. But that's the case, isn't it, for all of us? There's always a price to pay in the midst of this world. There is always the enmity of the world that comes over against us for our unity with Jesus Christ. But then also, in the world ye shall have tribulation includes, in the world ye shall endure temptations. The world is tempted too. The ungodly are tempted. The reprobate are tempted. But that's no tribulation to them. That's no pressure to them. That's no trouble to them. That's not something they struggle against and fight against. That's not something that draws out of them any blood or sweat or tears. For the child of God, however, as he's united to Jesus Christ, the Holy One, temptation is real tribulation. Temptation by sin, which can beckon, which can look so alluring, and as the child of God struggles over against that sin, endures tribulation, pressure. Even temptation through the trials of life. Not so much always does temptation come directly as a sin which the devil puts before us and dangles before us and tempts us to reach for it and to go after it to our own destruction. But sometimes when temptations and troubles come upon us, in fact, always when temptations and troubles come upon us, especially when several come upon us at once, the devil is always there to exploit that opportunity, to put pressure upon us, to say, see, this way of walking with God is not worth it. Look at what comes upon you as you go that way. Look at the trouble and the trial and the grief. Look at the tribulation. Stop believing. Try to find the peace and the comfort you can find in this world, here and now. And He afflicts us with doubts through trials, through temptations, through persecution, in whatever way He can. Seek to cause us to doubt. Doubt the goodness of God, centrally. Doubt the faithfulness of God. Doubt that we really are in Jesus Christ. All that is opposed to our salvation brings upon us this pressure, this tribulation in the midst of the world. And that comes upon us by all the world, by the devil, all of his demons who seek to work their hurt upon us, by the reprobate of this world who control the world, who develop their sin in ever more tantalizing forms and seemingly harmless forms often. And even then, of course, our sinful nature, which is always with us, which loves this world, which desires to follow this world and go with this world and enjoy the things of this world and abandon the cause of Jesus Christ. While you are here, Jesus says, you will have this tribulation. Brace yourself. Establish yourself so that you might endure, so that you might persevere. I know it's God who preserves us, but God preserves us through His truth and through His words which open to us the reality, so that by those words He can set us so that we're strong, we're ready to endure these kinds of tribulations, and we do not stumble, and we do not say, look what the Lord has done to my life, how can He love me? But we say, He told me. I didn't expect it to be like this. I didn't expect it to hurt this much. But He did tell me. In the world, I would have tribulation. And that even as a sign, as a mark, that I belong to Him. But then also we must know His victory. I have endured tribulation, therefore you will endure tribulation, He said. But I also will overcome the world. In fact, Jesus says in the text, not I will overcome the world. He says, I have overcome the world. He is so certain of it. And that because he knows God and he knows the will of God and he has read the counsel of God, and God has declared to him, this you will do. You will suffer. You will die. You will through that have the victory over all the powers of sin. And so Jesus Christ confidently stands this side of the cross and says to his disciples, I have overcome the world. And we hear him now as one who has fully accomplished and experienced and enjoys that victory. We hear him say to us now, today, I have overcome the world. personally, he had the victory over his enemies and over the world as it stood against him as his enemy. The judgment of God has been decided in his favor. Remember that, that was what was happening at the cross. Jesus Christ was placed before the world, and the world stood before the bar of God's justice, and they stood on trial. They thought they put him on trial, but the world stood on trial before God. And God's verdict has been rendered once and for all. My son is innocent. My son is righteous. And those who condemned him are guilty. The judgment of God is decided in the favor of Jesus Christ. He has had the victory in the court of the Lord. But also, as he suffered and died upon the cross, as he took our sins upon him, and as he suffered on account of those sins, broke the power of the world. He broke the power of his enemies. Decisively. That's not to say they are now inert. They cannot move. There's nothing they can do. They are dead, as it were. But that is to say their back is broken. Their teeth are smashed out. So that the world, as we view it as one entity, as a great snarling beast, can snarl all it wants, but it's harmless against the Church of Jesus Christ. Its bite is powerless. Its pounce impotent against the Church of Jesus Christ, against the Lord Jesus Himself. And that was, of course, always, always in God's counsel. That was always according to God's plan, as He announced it already to the devil himself. Way back, as we read it in Genesis 3:15, you will bruise His heel. He will suffer tribulation. He will suffer upon the cross. He will. There will be a real bruising. But as his heel is bruised, with that very heel he shall crush your head. And so he has done through his death upon the cross, destroying the power of the devil over against him and his people. Therefore he is exalted through his death upon the cross, through his resurrection, through his ascension into heaven. He has taken the position, been given the position, sitting at the right hand of God. He is exalted now as the King over all things, over all His enemies. He has overcome the whole world, and all of its power is under Him. And then He means, not only have I overcome the world, but I have overcome the world as I am united to you, He says to His disciples and to us. My victory I share with you. My victory is your victory. I have overcome the world. That's good news to you. For now you have in me also overcome the world. Tribulation that you endure in the world. That real tribulation that you endure in the world is harmless to work against your salvation. It may bruise you, but it cannot destroy you. It cannot take away your faith. It cannot overcome you. It cannot conquer you. You are in me. I have overcome the world for you. And I have overcome the world's power to bring its tribulation upon you. They may rage, and they will. They rage against me, he says to us. By their raging against you, They will set themselves against me by setting themselves against you in this world, and that will increase even until the day that I appear upon the clouds of heaven again. They will rage, but that is all they can do. They will have no success. But then, beloved, also, even more than that, the tribulation that we endure in this world serves His purpose. That is, the tribulation that we endure in this world, the tribulation that the world brings upon us, that the devil brings upon us, that our old nature brings upon us, all of that serves our salvation. Not simply because it has some power within itself to do that, but because it's controlled by the mighty victor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has overcome the world and taken all those tribulations in His hand, bends them for the purpose of blessing His people and working in us, through us, by those tribulations to save us and to bring about His great purpose for us. In the world ye shall have tribulation then, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world and all its tribulation. It's harmless against you. Indeed, even it works for you. Despite what the world thinks, despite their intention, the tribulation works for your advantage and your salvation. Then he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In me. That language reminds us, doesn't it, of words that he used earlier again in his farewell discourse, where he spoke of himself as the vine and his people as branches in that vine. And he spoke of us as branches in Him, in the vine, who derive our fruit from Him, our life rather, from Him, from the vine, which comes into us and produces fruit in us and through us. In me. Enjoying that living union with me. Ye have the victory. Ye have overcome the world. In me and through my victory, he says. As my branches. Take then His life into yourself more and more. Grow in that life. Grow in that power of His life, that you might more and more enjoy also. Enjoy it in your own experience. The overcoming of the world. That's what the Lord means in the text. Not simply these things are reality, these things are done, these things are true. They are. But these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In other words, I've said these things unto you so that as you hear them and grasp them and receive them by faith, you have peace. Peace through my word. Peace through my instruction. Peace through the power of my word as it comes into you and works in you that which I speak of. That victory, that overcoming of the world. And that occurs, it means to say that occurs by His Spirit. Throughout this whole discourse, that has been a main theme on the mind of our Lord and something that He's very desirous that we understand and that we take away from these final words as He spoke them before He left us. He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back in my Spirit. I will be with you so that My victory comes into you, and you'll enjoy it by the power of the Spirit who will be poured out upon you, poured out within you. And that Spirit will work in you faith. He will work in you the ability to believe and to see heavenly things and to know them as surety, as reality, as fact. He'll work in you not only the ability to believe, He'll work in you the activity to believe as well. So that you will believe. So that as you feel and know and endure the tribulation of this world, your eyes might be opened and your ears might be opened and you might hear my words that I've spoken to you. And by the power of those words, you might know and enjoy and taste the victory that I have earned for you. That's the way it is for us too as God's people. Struggle against some temptation, whether it comes upon you in the form of doubt, through a trial, or whether it comes upon you through some sin in your life, sin that tempts you to make it part of your life. You approach that by faith. You answer that with the power of the Spirit within you and by the power of faith, and you say, no, that's not all there is. There's something more. I see it. I know it. I've heard it in God's Word. And by that power of faith, you have the victory over that temptation. Think of it even from this point of view, this example of death. As you watch a loved one being taken away in death, and you see that, and that's a tribulation that presses itself upon your soul, it may cause temptation and struggle and doubt within you. You look at that and you see it by faith and you say that's not all there is. It's not just a dying person. It's not just a body losing its grasp of an earthly life. But that's the soul of a loved one being gathered unto Jesus Christ. That child goes to Father's house of many mansions. That loved one is being gathered into the arms of my Savior. His Savior, her Savior. That's what I see. That's what I know. By the faith in Christ's words, we have the victory. We overcome because He overcame. And we have peace because of that victory. We have peace because of the words that He's spoken unto us. With peace, because the Spirit works in our hearts and causes us to believe those words. And we have peace even in our tribulation. Really, beloved, isn't that in itself tremendous victory to have peace in the tribulations that come upon us in this life? Understandable then that our Lord says to His disciples, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. All is well. Though you have tribulation in the midst of this world, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you. Notice again, beloved, as we noticed it in those opening verses of John 14, let's notice it yet again, the amazing care and love the Lord has for His disciples and for us. Notice again His selfless love. Remember, He's being led away. He sees already the cross, says it's that hour. Said that in the verse just before our text. He's being led away to the cross. And yet he turns back to his disciples and he says, "You be of good cheer." He's not all consumed and absorbed in himself and his own suffering. He's concerned for them. For the peace, the quietness of their hearts and the comfort of their minds and souls. As he's now led then to the darkest depths of hell, he, as it were, turns back to his disciples and says to them, "Be, my beloved disciples, of good cheer." Means don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. Take heart. Be of good courage. All is well. I have gone before you. I will go before you. I will fight the enemy. I will fight the battle for you. You're not able to do that. The world, with all the tribulations it would bring upon you, would destroy you, would tear you apart. I must go. I must go before you. I will deal with them. I will work out the victory for you, that you might, in all your tribulations, know my victory within you and in your life. I have overcome the world, and you will too. But the power that I will work in you, the power of faith that I will work in you by my Spirit. And here then, beloved, also the promise of God with regard to those who by Jesus Christ overcome. He speaks of it in various places in Scripture. He speaks of it especially in the book of Revelation. We hear His word in Revelation 3 verse 21, for example. 3 verse 21, "To him that overcometh, and not to him that overcometh in his own strength and by his own might, but to him that overcometh in me and by my strength and by my might, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." He will share his exaltation with us, he promises. Revelation 21 verse 7 again, just a couple of examples. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Not in the way of his overcoming will he earn for himself the right to have me as his God and have himself as my son, but rather this: by my power working in him, he will overcome. And to him that overcometh, I will give to him all things. He shall inherit all things, the whole world, a whole new creation, a new heavens and a new earth will be his to enjoy. But not to enjoy alone. To enjoy with me forever and ever, to enjoy with Father, as Father there fully shows himself to be his God, and makes him know and enjoy sonship with the living God, the God of our salvation, the God of Jesus Christ. Beloved people of God, hear the words of our Savior to you tonight. The world, you will have tribulation. Don't be dismayed. Be of good cheer. Take heart. Have peace. Knowing the words of Jesus Christ. Believing in those words. Finding strength in those words. For He, your Savior, has overcome the world and all your tribulations for you. For your salvation, now and forever. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. What an uplifting and encouraging Word, as it truly does make us to be of good cheer. And as it truly does fill our hearts with peace, give us wisdom continually to abide in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to listen to Him, to draw from Him His life by believing in His Word and living according thereto, that we may continue to know and to enjoy and to be assured of our victory in Him as we look for the day when He shall be fully displayed as the great victor, the accomplisher of our salvation, the mighty vanquisher of all of our foes, and He whom works in us, so that we too participate in that overcoming, enjoy that overcoming as He works it in us, through us, in our lives, that we might someday, inheriting all things, living with Thee in the covenant perfected, praise our King, our Victor, our Savior, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen.